Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck, katelovingschenck.com, and author of the Prayer Prescription Series. The Prayer Prescription Series is the sponsor of this show. Tim Emerson is my guest today. He is a practitioner of the Kuan Yin Healing Technique. That's K-W-A-N-Y-I-N Healing Technique, and has a special offer for my listeners today. And this offer will end 7/31/13. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Tim Emerson. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Kate. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. So tell us about yourself and how you were drawn to this very wonderful healing technique called Kuan, K-W-A-N, Kuan Yin. How did that all come about for you?
Well, you know, it's been building for a while, several years. I used to manage a New Age bookstore in my 20s, and I've seen just about everything come and go, and certainly read plenty of things and met plenty of people and got pretty burnt out on all these things because everybody would get so excited, but nobody could really, it seemed, bring things to any sort of result. But I did get quite an education. You know, I got to meet Elizabeth Stratton and work with her in New York, the famous healer there. I worked with June Burke for a while, and who was channeling Julian at the time, and all these sort of subtle issues. You know, it was part of my life. I kind of took it for granted, and I didn't really step out and do anything. I did some healings for friends, things like that. But it changed when, you know, one of those things, you don't know why you do it, you just sort of did it. I was in a place where I was in an uncertain place. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Things weren't bad, but I wasn't getting up in the morning with passion, and I had recently ended a relationship, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do professionally next, and I was just in this odd space, and I got it into my head that I was going to do what's called reconnection, which is a version of an energy alignment system that's been around for centuries, and I decided to do that, and one of those synchronicity things. Wasn't even sure I could find the shop or the person or the place, and of course, just almost walked right to them. You know, walk in the door. She's standing there. Hi, can I help you? You know, it couldn't get more easy than that. And she said, you know, have you ever had anything like this done before? And I said, well, no, not specifically. She goes, well, we should do a distance healing first, and then. She goes, and I'm booked up for a couple months, but you could come in the mornings this week, couldn't you? And actually, I could. Mm-hmm. So we set it up very quickly. So the arrangement for the phone healing was that she was going to call, make sure I was all set, and then would hang up and do the session and call back afterwards and see how I'm doing. So I'm expecting what I had grown up, what I've always been around experiencing, maybe some sort of subtle, who knows, whatever, you know. And so she hung up with the phone. Here, I'm all set. And I lay down, and I instantly felt this intense heat around my head and swirls of energy under my feet and under my palms and this intense heat in my stomach. And for like 5 minutes, and then the phone rang. And I was thinking, why is she calling me? It's been 5 minutes. And I looked at the clock. It had been half an hour.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I went into the next part of this, I'm like, okay, you've got my attention.
Right.
The actual alignment process is a two-day process, and two consecutive days, literally going through every chi meridian, every calibration point, the entire energy, extending it out into the universe, into the earth. It's a very thorough process. And the first day of this process, I was it's hard to explain. There are these. It feels incredibly good. There's mm-hmm. these swirls of energy going on, and I'm involuntary movements of my hands and feet, and my and I just feel terrific, and I feel like these, you know, I'm surrounded by white light. And afterwards, I had to sit and go walk in the park for an hour because before I could drive home, because I just was not in the same place. The second day, mm-hmm. I came back. I thought, this is really interesting, and I had been suffering for 2 years with degenerative disc disease, and mm-hmm. there isn't anything they do for that, so except if it hurts, give you pain medication. And I felt I felt like a hand grabbed the base of my spine and another one steady in my stomach. I mean, there's nobody in the room doing this. You don't touch somebody when you're doing this process. And like somebody like with a cord going through my spine, and the voice said, "Okay, are you ready?" And I was ready. And it just stretched the living bejesus out of my spine, and a couple of different times. And it was just terrific. I felt awesome.
Wow.
And I mean, the pain was gone. I was euphoric all day. You know, next time I saw my doctor, you know, they do this with the little hammer knee thing. My doctor's good at it because he'll catch you off guard. And everything was normal again. So,
wow.
You know, after that, it's like, okay, this isn't the kind of energy healing I'm used to. You know, I need to learn about this. And I set out to learn more about it. And as I learned more about it, decided that it was something I wanted to practice.
So, do you actually teach this, Tim?
I don't teach it actually, but.
But you you do take people through the process very thoroughly. It sounds like.
Yeah. This process of the purpose of the alignment is to throw ourselves really quickly back on our life path, which. You know, we're energy, right? We're created in this energetic pattern, and there's we manage to kind of twist things up. So it's kind of like getting all that energy back in a coherent fashion, so that it's all working well together. And when we do that, all those typical thought blockages and fear things, we take those away, and it's like somebody picks you up and dumps you where you were supposed to be in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And this takes place over. It's a process. Just doing the alignment, it tends to usher in a couple months of pretty rapid changes,
mm-hmm.
which all sounds great in the abstract. When you're living through it, it can be a little tumultuous.
That is always the other side of it, isn't it?
There you go. I put up these blocks for a reason, right? So and so, you know. And what you do about that in the old way is you just explain this to people and wish them luck and assure them that at the end of 2 months, everybody looks back and goes, "Oh, my God, this is so much better. I just couldn't have known." But the process is messier than I would like. And one of my clients actually suggested, what if there was some sort of a workbook or something to, you know, to help work through that? And I thought, this is an awesome idea. And it's an idea that then just got incredibly out of hand and grew into the Kuan Yin journey. Which is, again, just started, with 8 steps trying to help people through this rapid rise in vibration. That's actually what's happening. The vibration is rising very quickly. In fact, people sometimes get very, very cold during the alignment because your vibration is raising very quickly. My hands are freezing. in the middle of the summer. But the but then also to help people understand it and to make use of it. You know, I'm very focused on getting results. You know, my I wanted this to be practical and have people make the best of it, not just have an experience and move on. And so it outgrew the alignment, and and so you know, today as it's evolved, I'll do an initial healing session for somebody, and then we'll do the 2-day alignment session and go through these 8 weeks steps that I designed, and it's transformative. The you know, we are you know, just living shadows of the lives we could be living, and what we're looking at here is a very positive transformation over those 2 months, and helping to make it more smoothly, making the most of the opportunity. And to one of the things that usually people forget when they put together programs of transformation is what happens after the transformation. You know, how do I adjust back to my daily life? So
right.
It's the most comprehensive thing I've ever seen.
And that you've ever experienced, too.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one of the things my my past clients have said about it, which I love, is that, oh, I understand now how all the different pieces fit together. Which is,
that's good.
Nice. Yeah.
Let me just direct people to the page where they can go and look over your beautiful website, which is, goes into great detail, has some of your wonderful videos that explain the process, explain some of the things that get people stuck, which we'll discuss in a minute. So it's www.kwanyinhealing, that's KwanYinHealing, and that's all one word, kwanyinhealing.com/Kate.php. So if people would like to go and look at that while we're talking, one of your videos on the site talks about reconnection, and you were just talking about that right now. And also, you know, people get stuck, and they might actually be stuck for a long, long time. What is it that gets people stuck, and what is it that can get them unstuck?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite topics. Something I hear all the time, you know, how come the law of attraction isn't working for me? You know, why am I stuck here? And I guess that's the thing, right? You know, it's you know, people aren't idiots. You know, they've been to the program, they've read the self-help books, they've practiced yoga and tai chi and meditation, and they're intuitive and creative and insightful, and yet it's, you know, they're just not manifesting the life or the health that they're looking for. And the question is, well, how come this isn't working for me? And I think the important thing to understand is that two things. One is that the law of attraction actually is working. If we look around ourselves with real honesty, we'll realize that I actually have a lot of what I want right now, even with all the problems. And, you know, we tend to live in the places we want to live, or surrounded by the people we want to be surrounded with. You know, more or less, we tend to find those things. The problem is that we do it in a very scattered way. I love this word coherence, bringing things together. And the good news is you probably aren't doing anything wrong. Quite the opposite. I like to think of example of restoring a classic car. You know, you could do an amazing job finding the parts and making them sparkle and assembling them with care and skill, and, you know, 95% incredible job, but you're missing spark plugs, right? It doesn't turn over. Or you have them, but they're worn. So with all that work, the car still doesn't start. And you're like, why isn't this working for me? And so that's one of the big things, is to start and really step back and go, to understand what's not working. There's so much I could say about this, but if we I'd like to talk about these two things together, getting unstuck and looking at the law of attraction.
Okay.
Because they're so intertwined. When we look around ourselves and go, why isn't this working? To make that shift to, actually, it is working. Because we had a hand in creating the situation as it is now. And as long as we stick to the idea that something is happening to us, we'll always remain stuck. You know, the prosecutor, the victim, the rescuer, I'm going to go in and make peace, straighten these people out. It just doesn't work. It never did work, right? Or,
right.
You know, I can't do this because it's you're doing this to me, or you're doing this, or you're holding me back. And there may be lots of justification for that, but as long as that remains the case, you're the victim. You're stuck. Or, you know, I need somebody to come in and rescue me. And the problem with that is somebody can come in and say, okay, here, I know you can't handle this, so I'll do this, which is kind of an insult, honestly, to somebody's abilities in the first place. But what happens if life isn't perfect afterwards, then we turn on the rescuers for not rescuing us good enough, and we're back to becoming, now the victims are being prosecutors, so we can go back to being victims. I mean, we love to be victims, right? So without intending it. You look at a conversation around the water cooler about, hey, how's your health? How's your health? How's your health? Oh, man, my knee, it's killing me. I can't believe this. It's like, and what happens? Somebody else will say, oh, that's nothing. My hips, and whoever feels the worst wins.
True. I hear that conversation a million times, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and to stop and go, like, what am I doing? You know, I'm sorry for you. I feel terrific. I mean, that's the position I want. So we need to look at the world that we're in and understand that however small, and if we can start with something small to admit that, we had a hand in doing this. We had a hand in doing this. I'd like to kind of invite everybody listening, if you just stick for a minute, just go with me for a minute, trust me for a minute, and just what outside you of yourself is bugging you, it's holding you back, it's irritating you, it's challenging you. What are the problems that, you know, if only blank would do it different, things would be fine. You know, what are those kinds of problems? When you get a list of those problems, okay, just tap down a few things quickly now, but maybe sit down later and really kind of make a list. And then ask yourself, why are these things on your list? Because many, many, many things are wrong with the world. Many things. The community and our relationships and our circumstances. But while we may notice these things, most of those are not things that we think of as troublesome. So why these things? You see what I'm saying? It's not that, oh, these are the horrible things. Actually, you're not even paying attention to the horrible things. So why are you wrapped up around these things? We're bothered most by the things that reflect the parts of ourselves we don't like, and especially that we don't like to look at or admit. And so the process then starts with being self-honest. Now, somebody give me a sign. We live surrounded by signs 24/7. You know, we ourselves flag these signs all the day, all the time. What we need to do is read them. One of my favorites is, after one of those days, everything just gets worse and worse and worse, right?
Right.
A friend of mine once said to me, Tim, did you have a bad day or did you have a bad moment and milk it all day? I didn't know what to say. and I realized he was right. I had picked one thing and decided that's what I was going to think about all day. Instead of looking at what's going on with me that this one thing ruined my whole frickin' day when all these other positive things happen. So
yeah.
I know this is kind of a roundabout way to do that, but understanding, noticing what's around us and starting to get honest with ourselves about it, the situation is not good. Why am I in this situation? here's the thing, we can't control others, and we need to acknowledge that what, in whatever way, our current approach, if it's not getting us what we want, isn't working, by definition. If you're happy, keep doing what you're doing. If you're not happy, the next question is, do you want to be? And I would suggest that there are a lot of people who would answer that question, I don't really want to be happy. Because if you want to be, then you've got to change something.
Right.
You want something different to happen, something different's got to change. So anyway, that's an important beginning, because then after that it's recognizing that we need help. Our way is the way that God is here. And our way will keep us here. And so this is, we need other people. We need more resources. We need more ideas. We need people who aren't stuck in the way that we are, because they don't have the same mindset as the one that's keeping us stuck. And this becomes important even when we get stronger. You know, it's I hear this a lot. I don't really like asking for help. I think, well, there are several problems with that. You know, one is I just want to work and you know, be my highest self. Well, it's your higher self. You're connected to everybody else. So if you want to be your higher self, you know, you can't go it alone. If we keep doing it our way, we're going to keep being stuck, because we're the ones that created the current situation. That's not to say we're not doing good things. You created the good things. But we need help. There's a Taoist writer, Denming Dao, put this beautifully. He says, when an eagle gets in trouble over the ocean for flying out too far, it's not the young eagle this happens to. It's not the eaglets. Because the young eagles can't fly far enough to get into trouble. It's the adult eagles who can fly out too far and find they need help. So the more we grow, the more we're in new territory and we need help. And if we don't get the help, we'll stay stuck. And along with that is very important. We need to find a spiritual center. If we stay stuck in our own head, we just keep going in the same circles. It doesn't have to be something that's religious or traditional. It doesn't have to be, any kind of anything specifically. Usually what happens if people have an issue here, they start talking about their disbeliefs. I don't believe in this, or I have trouble with that. And the disbeliefs are irrelevant. What I'm asking here is, what is it that you do find is the center? And even if you say, I don't believe in anything, okay, do you believe there's a pattern to nature? Do you believe there's an energy to the world? However minimal, what is it that's real for you? You know, and then build a daily practice around that. And here's why this is so important. It will center you. Instead of things getting worse and worse and worse and building tangents and tangents and tangents, you start back at what you yourself said is real. You know, and you don't have to accept anybody else's. If you don't like it in the current event, take out what you don't like. And when you start looking at that daily touchstone of what is really true for you, as you understand these things, it will start to build. It will start to grow. And that center of truth and power will grow with it. It's those sorts of things. When you get that kind of honesty and understanding and that kind of support and help from others, we can start to fix the problems from our end instead of wondering how come nobody else is fixing theirs, which just doesn't work. Rather than a process of beating ourselves up, it really becomes a process of simplification. We start making things complicated that aren't complicated in the first place. Things start to flow better. You know, we start to get lucky as we take out the mess. It allows flow, which is really all that luck is. We can continue to develop that. We don't take too much time on this, but the connection to the law of attraction here is we have several misunderstandings about the law of attraction that go with this. One is, okay, I'm going to use the law of attraction, so I'm going to get my willpower and I'm going to set intention. Well, it's not that that's wrong, but it's not enough. that's only, you know, one aspect of our being. And if our physical reality and our emotional state and our spiritual state are all things that are creating something different, all the willpower in the world isn't going to change that.
Right.
You know, one of the things I like to we start off with early in the program is before we can have an intention, we have to have an awareness, a real awareness, not the justification we've been feeding ourselves for years and years and years. Then we need to be able to transform. Once we're aware, we can start to transform things, you know, to make changes. Nothing changes and nothing changes. And only then does setting intention have any meaning. It's simply you're working against yourself. At that point, we can start to raise our vibration. And I encourage people to think in terms of coherence and completeness, not escaping the physical world. What happens, I think, all too often, Kate, is people will say, okay, I'm stuck here in the physical world, so I'm going to run over there. I feel like I'm trying to lift a board from just one end. Now I'm going to run over there and try to lift it from the other end. No, now I'm all spiritual. I'm too good for the physical. Well, you're just trying to lift it from the other end, and you have no better results. You're just in a different energy. I encourage people instead to think of a coherence among all levels of energy, from the physical through the spiritual, and so that all that is working together. You know, even a 5-watt laser will burn through the wall, you know, because it's focused.
Yeah.
And achieving those sorts of changes in consciousness. Asking ourselves, you know, I want things to be different. The first choices, besides who's going to help me, where am I going to ask for help, should also be, what am I willing to let go of? What am I going to cut away? What's in my way that I'm willing to get rid of?
Is it a simplification process, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, instead of like, geez, my life would be so great if I could only have X, stop. You have so much already. I used to think gratitude was the end of the process. I've come to understand that it's the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Until we're grateful, we will be stuck. Literally, until we're grateful, we will be stuck. If you think of it, you know, if you're not grateful for the things you have, why would you be grateful for more? And to get into this understanding that, you know, I appreciate the things that I have, because then you're looking at the things that have worked instead of the things that don't work. And then you can put your energy into the things that work. And then you can take away some of that anxiety that people have. So,
and also to be grateful for the things that don't work. Those things are taking us where we need to be.
Yes, yes. Now you're talking about the hero's journey, one of my favorite topics.
Yes, getting out of victim to the hero, right?
Yeah, and my favorite story about the hero's journey, and the heroes, those who aren't familiar with the hero's journey, some Joseph Campbell's work, that we are the heroes of our own lives, and we see this reflected in our myths and our stories and in our lives. And, you know, the hero is just kind of going along, and, you know, in the ordinary world, it's not special, it's not great, you know, kind of feeling a little bit stuck there, and has this call to adventure. And what does our hero do? Refuses the call. It's outside of the comfort zone. And it's only the entrance of a mentor, somebody outside of the hero, who brings new information or new gifts and that encourages the hero to cross the threshold. So, for example, you know, Luke Skywalker, Harry Potter, right? They have these incredible, you know, calls to adventure. You know, you can go off, go to Hogwarts. You can go off and, you know, there's this droid. You know, help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope. There's this, all this hope of adventure. And then, you know, Harry goes back under the stairs, not going to Hogwarts, and Luke goes home. You know? And it's only after that, you know, in Harry's case, Hagrid shows up, you know. Harry, you know you're a wizard. No, you got the wrong person. Haven't you ever made strange things happen? And he's off to Hogwarts. Or, you know, when Luke's case, he goes back and is, you know, the place has been burned, and as Luke, your father was a Jedi, and here's his lightsaber. And they're often the cost of adventure, but the adventure is just getting out of the comfort zone. What you were, I mentioned that you remind me of is then starts the road of trials. Once we're out of our comfort zone, everything becomes fluid. And and we face the road of trials, and the trials aren't punishments, but rather appropriate measures. And with the obstacles we keep running into are always ourselves, always, and it always will be. It's not a messed up system, it's a perfect system. My favorite illustration of this is the from Greek mythology. The sun god loved his son one day, and all days, but one day he said, you know, ask anything you want. I love you so much. Ask and it's yours. And his son says, great, I want to take the fiery chariot across the sky. And immediately the sun god regrets this promise. And he tries to talk him out of it and can't. And he can't go back on his promise. So he lets the kid take the chariot. And the kid is not ready for this. And he goes way too high. He goes way too low. He, you know, injures the earth. He injures the heavens. He injures himself, and found that the other gods have to step in and put an end to it. Because he's not ready for it. It's not that he's not allowed to have to. He's not ready for it yet. You know? Imagine you're 18. You just graduated high school. And they say, okay, here. Why don't you be, you know, CEO of IBM? I mean, it would be a disaster. That's way too much. He's not ready, even if he's very gifted. So the trials actually is like pull us back, slow us down. It's like let's get the grace, the blessings, the lessons we need to. Let's reach the understandings we need to before we move forward. And I love this example because Campbell explains, you know, our trials can be pretty nasty. And this is a part that we begin to understand the blessings of these trials and the blessings of the opposition. And that the opposition is always ourselves that needs to be assimilated. Mm-hmm. If you think back to where we started this conversation about getting unstuck, that was the first step, right? Looking at ourselves.
Yeah.
And the example that I like to use to illustrate Campbell's point is nature. I do a lot of mountain hiking. It's beautiful. It's also dangerous. And you know, nature is gorgeous and inspiring and relaxing and peaceful, and it's all about, for me, connection. And nature is also brutal and heartless and uncaring. You know, one accident in the mountains and it's over. And if nature isn't even being mad about it, because nature doesn't even care. You know?
It's, right.
Kid died today. Anything else going on? You know, we don't think of nature as good and bad. We think of nature as majestic. And Campbell uses the term the majesty of being.
That's beautiful.
That all part of our process, the whole thing. And that the nature of desire, as something often is understood in Buddhism, is, and with it, karma. Karma is really it's not punishment. It's karma is the promise that you'll get anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the Sangha. Anything you want, it is yours. The only thing is, and once you want it, you're going to get it. There's no going back on that. And second, you're going to get everything that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
If that takes this lifetime or several lifetimes. But it's not punishment. It's all a blessing. You know, except to the extent we do it to ourselves.
Right. Do you find that people don't like to admit that they are stuck?
You know, this is a really good question. We get into all this in the Kuan Yin journey in far greater depth. It's one of the reasons, too, that we start with energy work, so that we're getting help from, you know, from our highest possible selves and vibrations. But the entire first week focuses on kind of the ground rules, if you will, mm-hmm. understanding what it means to be different levels of vibration. What are the seven levels of being energetically, and how they determine our ordinary world. And also even putting in place the tools. You know, before mm-hmm. Harry gets started, he gets a wand, right? Luke gets a lightsaber.
Right.
So before we go very far, we want to get the blessings that come with this journey, the tools that we need to go with that. And so we talk a lot about that in step one. And understanding just the nature of what we're doing. We tend to think of wanting things in small doses. Most of us are playing too small. It's another reason we have an issue. I don't mean that you have to go out and start a corporation or anything like that. I mean, like, you know, think of a concept like abundance, right? I have heard often, well, you need to get really specific and you know, I want this amount on this day and all that. And the thing of it is, that's not intention. That's a plan. A plan is good, but it comes after another important step. Abundance is an energy.
Mm-hmm.
We are nothing but vibration and energy. And, you know, as Einstein and Tesla could have told us a century ago. But we tend to think of ourselves very differently than that. So, to really understand where am I, why am I here, and what's possible. Abundance is looking at the stars, and there are more stars than you could count. Abundance is I go outside in my forest, and there are more trees than I can imagine. There are more birds than I can imagine. That's abundance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want
right,
a specific
right.
number. I want an endless flow coming in and an endless flow coming out. You know, it's a... So it's very much like a river. So we spend the whole step one about how to step into being and understanding where we are and how we're going to move forward. And the next week, then we stand on the threshold and we begin at the lowest vibration, the physical world, where we can really look at it and see it. And that's where we really start our self-discovery on that second world. How do we overcome these restrictions and realize abundance? How can we read the information available to the everyday and begin to raise our vibration that way? Then in week three, mm-hmm. we start to look at the myths and the realities of the emotional plane. You know, and emotions, again, we can read our emotions. They are reflections of our thoughts. Am I thinking in the right direction? I don't know. How do you feel? And if you feel crappy, that's just like your hand on the stove warning you that something's wrong. And but we tend to get wrapped up in our emotions instead of going, well, what do I need to change so I have better feelings? And then, so we look at that. Then we look, we get into our thought plane and beginning to understand that we are not the same as our thoughts, that thoughts are our tools and not our identity. And we often get very wrapped up in that. And then we look at the world of spirit, you know, all halfway through the program and start opening to that. And then we open up to the riches of awareness with a capital A. You know, the spiritual warrior, the Buddhic vision. And then the last 2 weeks are integrative. What does this mean for healing? You know, healing in a much broader sense. I love the old shamanic tradition that if you're sick, it doesn't ask, you know, when did you start feeling sick? He asks, when did you stop telling stories? When did you stop dancing? When's the last time you were singing?
Right.
And then finally, how do we master these two worlds together? So,
well, that's great.
Like I said, very comprehensive. Yeah.
Yes, it is. We only have a few minutes left. Let me just say that if people want to access everything that you just said and review it and look at your beautiful videos, that would be www.kwanyinhealing.com/kate.php, because there they can really delve into everything that you have just described and they can decide whether they want to really invest in themselves, which is what I would think is what this is all about.
Yeah, this is really, Kate, this is really quite the offer. You know, 8 weeks of teleseminars alone, if I offered this as one of the colleges that I teach, this would already cost you at least $900, depending on which school. You know, the initial healing session and the two-session alignment, that's $500 worth of energy work right now. People in the program, they also have access to a private Facebook group of other people who have been through this program or are going through that. That was one of the things my client said. Now, there's amazing things that happened to me, and who can I talk to about it? Well, now there's this whole community of people they can talk to about it. So we're already, that's already, over 1,500, just those offerings right there. But, this is something I love taking people through this. This has been 2 months of transformation. And so I'm offering it for $997. Everything, the energy work, the whole 8 week modules, and so these are recorded calls that I've did for the first group, and they also they're transcripts of each call. Often the transcripts have way more material. There's a little bit of homework to do, and there's a couple of quick videos to help with the homework, you can even spread out your payments over 6 months. My provider is PayPal. You don't have to have a PayPal account, but if you do, when you choose the PayPal option, you can right there sign up for Bill Me Later, and they will spread a payment over 6 months at no interest charge. So that's $167 a month.
That's wonderful.
There's a ton of free information and videos I encourage everybody to take advantage of. But I wanted to do something special, Kate, for your listeners for this show. And
yes.
So here's what I came up with. I would love to people to, jump in and get going on this. So if you register by the end of July, I'm going to give you a couple of bonuses. First, you're going to get two bonus Q&A calls. One will be in September, one in October. So you'll have been in the material, and then one, you'll be kind of through that. So you will be invited to those calls. You can ask me any questions you want, get help from me. If for some reason you can't make the calls, they'll be recorded. You can even email questions if you can't be on the call so that you can get anything you want answered. We also will have a chance to talk, of course, when we're doing your one-on-one healing sessions. I'm also going to give, Kate, everybody who signs up before the end of July, before the 31st, free the 9 Steps to Manifestation module. It'll come at the end. So once you've been through all this, okay, I'm not stuck. I'm flowing. I'm integrated. I'm coherent. I'm ready to kick some butt. There you go. Here's how you take this and put it to work. Again.
That's wonderful. That is great.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my.
I'm really happy to offer that. I'm happy just to offer the free video stuff on the website, kuanyinhealing.com/kate.php. There are many testimonials here from past clients.
That's
can't
beautiful.
Think of, yeah.
Well, I will get the word out over the next 2 weeks and get people, send things out to my list. I just think it's really, really wonderful. And I appreciate so much that you could come on the show tonight and talk to me and everybody else. So, Tim,
blessings.
Yeah, it's great. And we got all the information in, and we were discussing key concepts. So I really, really appreciate it. So, you have a beautiful, beautiful evening, and we'll keep in touch.
Well, thank you so much. Bless you.
Thank you. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.